بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبه نستعين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. I welcome you all to the session on artificial intelligence. I think the one of its kind and the first of its kind in the Hausa system overall, where we're talking about technology. All right. So before we get into the discussion, let me tell you all that there's a huge number of audience that's attending the program online from different countries, from Singapore to Germany and even Belgium, India, Pakistan, Canada, America. So based on that, the inputs that we got, that some people are new to this whole concept overall. So keeping that in mind, I have designed my course accordingly. Can I quickly ask here, how many of you are techies? How many of you are into technology? Coding, programming, designing, graphic designing, Photoshop? Into Photoshop? All right. Photoshopping. Photoshopping. Video editing. Right. Anyone into coding and programming? Except one person that I know for sure is into coding and programming. All right. Well, lucky for me. If it would have been a huge number here into coding and programming, I would have said that a lot of information that I'm going to share may be right at the tip of your fingers, but there is a huge audience present and online who are not into technology or not into coding and programming. So we'll have to keep the program keeping in mind the audience that we have here and online. Right. Let's try and make it convenient. All right. Second question, why do you think we as Tullab or we who are in the Hausa need to talk about AI? Can someone share, can someone tell me why do we even need to talk about artificial intelligence at all? Yes. Yes. Okay, all right. Yes, something similar, on similar. Anybody else? Yes.
Your daily life works with artificial intelligence.
Okay. All right.
I think it's important to keep up with the time.
To keep up with the time, all right. Great, good points, but there's another aspect to it, right? Yes.
Awareness, creating awareness.
Creating awareness. Fair enough, to four masses, for us to love, to be aware of what's going on. For example, there's a concept called cryptocurrencies and bitcoins and ethereums and all that, and we don't know anything about it. So when it comes to giving fatwa or ruling, because we don't know about it, we don't know the integrities or the delicate points or zarafat, it's difficult for us to give fatwa or ruling about it. So it's good to know so that we can plan accordingly, all right? Good, that is good. But let me tell you a story, but let me also tell you, this is introduction, so we're not going to delve really deep discussing how it works and how does the programming at the back end work and all that. That is for probably intermediary levels or advanced levels. But what we're going to do is look at AI as AI, right? But before I tell you anything, let me start with a short story. How many of you have heard of this experiment conducted with monkeys and bananas? Has someone heard about it? Right, okay, couple of people. Let me tell you about this experiment. They conducted an experiment where they brought in five monkeys and they hanged banana from the roof. And they left a ladder right in the middle of the room. Right. So the monkeys were, you know, doing their monkey business, playing around, and then suddenly one of them noticed that, wow, bananas. So it started climbing the ladder, went up and grabbed the bananas to eat. The moment it grabbed the bananas, or the moment it started climbing the ladder, the other monkeys that were there in the room, they were showered with water. What happened? They didn't like it. They got drenched. It was cold water. So they were absolutely unhappy with it. But they didn't know why were they being showered with cold water. But then gradually they saw, learned, and realized that every time a monkey goes up to grab bananas, it is then that they are being drenched with cold water. So next time around, a monkey tried to climb up the ladder all of them joined together, pulled it down and beat it up. Now that had become the strategy. Anyone who was tempted to eat bananas and would want to climb up the ladder, everyone would jump upon him, drag him down and beat him up. Then the experimenters, they decided to use a different strategy. Now, they pulled out one of the monkeys who knew the rules and regulations and the laws of that group. They pulled out one of the guys and replaced it with a new monkey. The new monkey came in, played around a little, noticed the bananas and were like, wow, bananas, let me go get them. The moment it climbed, all the monkeys jumped at it, dragged it down and started beating it up. And this monkey was like, what's wrong with you guys? There are bananas, let's go get it. And they're like, no, you can't go up. Like, but why? No, you can't go up. Gradually, they replaced all the five monkeys and brought in all the new monkeys. And everyone who ever attempted to go up was met with the same treatment. So eventually, everyone knew that you're not allowed to go up. And from all the new monkeys, they knew that you're not allowed to go up. But they did not know why. Because none of them got showered with the cold water. So all of them were following something without knowing the root cause. All of them were following something without knowing the root cause. Now, AI, when it started, it had a root cause. Now people are working on AI, including Mormon brothers, including Muslim brothers, without knowing the root cause. Can anyone guess what was the root cause for AI? Why did they want to come up with AI?
Less
labor. Sorry, what?
Less labor?
Less labor? Not really.
To control the masses.
To control the masses, a very good point.
Creating
something called a higher authority that can control everything. A little more deeper. Can someone think? Yes.
A distraction in our life.
A distraction in our life. Fair enough. Sorry, what?
To rule the mind.
Or to say that there is no God. Why? We're going to look at it today. That why are we going to, why do they start it off with AI? And why do we conclude that AI is indirectly working towards proving the element that there is no God? I'm going to show you a couple of pictures and then we are going to get into the important discussion. All right. How many of you have heard of this painting from Michelangelo? It's called Creation of Adam. Heard of it? Saw it? You know, the most important part of this painting, which is always used at various times, is this. The hand of God connecting with the hand of Adam, indicating the creation of Adam, indicating the transfer of life from God to Adam. Meaning, you have God and you have creation. So weak God created something. What's the problem with that? The problem with that is that when it comes to the whole creation across the world or across the universe, we see the animals, we see the plants, we see the sea creatures, we see the birds, we see everything around us, and there is just one creation that is special, and that is human beings. Why are they special? Because let's go by the atheist approach that you do not have souls and there is nothing called metaphysical, no angels, no heaven, no hell or anything. But there is something that even the atheists believe separates man from rest of the creation. What is it that man has? Yes.
Rationality.
Intellect and intelligence, right? And that is what makes man different. Now, what is AI trying to do?
the word itself tells you. Artificial intelligence. That means God created man, God created everything else, but gave man intelligence. That means the one who can give intelligence is God. And if I can create intelligence, then I am the God. And we don't need another God. And that's why when you look at these pictures of AI, you will see pictures like this. The hand connecting another hand. One is man and the other one is technology. Just like that hand connecting this hand, where one is God and the other one is creation. And that's why we need to understand that AI was not created to make things easy for us, or for distraction, or for any other purpose, but it was fundamentally created to prove that man has the ability to create intelligence, and therefore man can be God, and we don't need a God which you feel is the supreme being. Because your claim about God is that God gives intelligence, while I can give intelligence too. Therefore, nothing special about that God. Even I can be that God, right? So this is the fundamental idea. Now remember the story about the monkeys that I told you. That those core group that started off with this whole concept, they knew what they are working towards. They knew what they are trying to achieve. But then the next set of generations who came in and who kept working on AI, they got influenced and they got carried away with this idea that we need to make things better, we need to make things smarter, we need to make things easy for us to interact, and you know, a network which is global and all that stuff, forgetting about this thing. And we are, when I say we, meaning the community, we are dedicatedly working towards this. And I'm not saying don't work on AI and don't work on artificial intelligence. I'm saying be aware of the goals. And when you're working, try and develop your work in a way that it helps the imam of the time rather than helping the enemy of the imam of the time. Right? So that is what AI was. That is how it started. But let's move on and look at AI itself. Now, AI has at three levels. One is the artificial intelligence. The other one is, let me use this name. One is the artificial intelligence itself. The other one is machine learning. And the third one is the deep learning. What is artificial intelligence by itself, fundamentally? Engineering of making intelligent machines and programs. The whole idea of artificial intelligence was to get the machines to mimic man's work, so that the machines can do all that little work and little things that man does redundantly, making it tired and bored. Imagine a guy whose job is just to sit and tighten one screw, right? If you go back and look at the videos on Industrial Revolution that happened in the 18th century, and you see all these people lined up next to the assembly line, everyone does one job. So this equipment passes, he takes a nut, tightens it up, and passes it on. The other guy takes a red color and paints it red so that we know that no one opens it up. Everybody had one single task, and all through the day, they just did that redundant task, which meant that they got tired and bored really quickly. And that led to decrease in productivity. So they wanted some equipment that can mimic man's tasks, right? The other one and the third one we will look at further, but let's deal with the first one. Now, where did it all begin? Like I mentioned about the Industrial Revolution. The most and the highest level of curiosity man has about something, that is man itself. Man has not yet figured out how the man works. Right? How do they breathe? How does it convert into oxygen? Where is life in the body of human beings? What happens when the life leaves? When does the soul come in? Right? How does the bodily functions work? What is subconsciousness? What is brain and mind? Do you know there's a difference between brain, the physical organ, and mind? And we talk about consciousness. So what is consciousness? Is it in the brain? Is it in the mind? Does the mind exist in the body, or does it exist in one part of the body or a particular organ of the body, or it is something supernatural? Yet to figure it out. So man is curious about itself. That what is it? How do we work? How do we think? How do we live? How do we breathe? And more than anything, how do we create? That is the most challenging thing for man to realize. How do I create? When I say create, I'm not talking about taking some equipment that's outside me, taking nuts and bolts and some plastic material and making a toy out of it. No, we're not talking about that creation. We're talking about the mental creation. How does man create stuff in his mind? Right? And that is the most fascinating thing. And what they wanted to do is to pursue this and find out that can we get our machine to act like that? And that's when they started inventing things. That's when they started creating things. So I'm going to quickly move through this in quick 5 minutes. What you see here are two pictures. The first one on your right, where the person is standing in a suit, that's the first calculator. And that's how huge it was. That's the first calculator. So they developed a calculator. Why? Because it can process information. It can process information faster than the human mind. It can quickly take in all the numbers and give out a result to you faster than a man can process. What do you think is the other picture? The first computer. And that's how huge it was. It was bigger than a room. It had thousands of transistors and tubes in it. And all it could do is store a 10-digit data. And consumed electricity equal to 10 houses per hour. Right? And that's how bad it was. Right? First computer. But what was the advantage? The advantage was that it could process information much, much faster than the human brain. 1,000 times faster than the human brain. And they said, like, wow, we want something like this that can process information faster. But there was a problem. The thing that bothered them was, can it act intelligently? What does that mean? It means, how does computer work? It's an input-output device. So you provide input. When you give it a number, 2 plus 2, it gives you an output that is 4. How does it do that? You've already told it to process that information. You've provided the necessary code to it to tell you, by adding these numbers, what the result is. But can it process information without me pre-programming it? Without me telling it what to do, can it process information? For example, if I give it A plus A, what do you think it's going to give me? Until and unless I tell it, what does A plus A stand for? Or what does A plus A mean? Right? So if I don't provide a code, it doesn't know what to do. If you enter all the information, it's just going to take that information and sit there looking at you. Like, what am I supposed to do? So now it means that computer can only act if you tell it how to act. Meaning, it can process information, but does not have the intelligence. So they have a creation, but not an intelligent creation. That means if I give it Pythagoras' theorem and tell it, solve it for me, it doesn't know what to do. So they have a computer which is fast, but it is not an intelligent device. It'll only do what I ask it to do. Right? Which is going through the history here so that it becomes quick and easy and clear for me. So what was the problem? What do we want? What is it that we wanted? We wanted devices. We wanted computers that can imagine. Can a computer imagine? Can a man imagine? And therefore, computer is not yet smart enough. They wanted a computer, they wanted a device that can dream. Can we dream? Yes, we can. Can a computer dream? No, it cannot. They wanted something that can learn and create without me telling it how to create. Something that can look at the data and learn itself. That look, I have this data right in front of me. So let me learn from this. Let me understand what's happening here. What is this data? Is this numbers? Is this alphabets? Is this integers? Is this fractions? What is this? Is this a diagram? Is this a painting? And it should learn by itself. And by using all this information, it should be able to create. Let me give you an example. Have you ever tried telling your child a story of a horse and a bird which is huge and that can fly really high? And then later on, saw your own child create another animal which is horse with the wings that can fly. Why? Because it can imagine and it can create something that does not exist. But computers lacked this ability. Computers were programs. They were codes. So when you give this code to them, they would take this and just process that information. Now, how many of you are still thinking about that question that I mentioned right at the beginning? That why do we Tulab or Muslimin need to know anything about AI? We mentioned about this element that there is no God. This is what they wanted to achieve. Remember that they are progressing at a light speed. They're progressing extensively, right? And within 5 years, they're going to come up with a live example to tell you that all this theory that you have about creation, about God, about infinite existence, about infinite knowledge and infinite wisdom, all that is hoax. Because we have AI which has infinite knowledge. What do we mean by infinite knowledge? Can you imagine the amount of knowledge that exists on internet? How many trillions of terabytes of data exist on internet? All that is accessible to AI. So it has more knowledge than any living human being. So then that will be infinite knowledge. And with the help of that knowledge, it can create. With the help of that knowledge, it will have wisdom. With the help of that knowledge, it will have power to create weapons, to create technology that... Sorry, let me finish this. To create technology that human beings cannot create. Inshallah, in the next session, we will talk about such a program that exists. Some of the participants here have attended the creativity program and we mentioned about this. We discussed some of the things there. We will discuss them again here because we have live participants and we have huzuri participants. So we will discuss that, inshallah. Yes.
I was going to ask, wouldn't that machine still only have the information that we give it?
Fair enough. That is where the machine learning and the deep learning, the neural network comes into picture. That the machine now, is it just dependent on what we provide or is it using its own neural network methodology to generate new knowledge? And this is what we're going to cover in the next session. Today we're going to reach till there and next session onwards we are going to discuss that in detail. So what, yes. They already say that, but then they'll, we asked for evidence that do you have something as an alternative if you say there's no God, they'll have an AI ready to answer our question.
But at the end of the day, if you could take not just Islam, but all monotheistic religions, the sifat of Allah and the level of creation that he has created, a machine or even AI would not be able to create to that level, so prove them wrong.
They would tell you that at this moment, yes. But wait for 2 more years, it'll create that complex entity for you, right? Because they have evidences for that.
But then we can still counter question them and say that you've created this now. So what is your answer to creation being created?
Exactly. So they still have a loophole and we can attack them on that loophole saying that eventually this artificial intelligence that exists was created by an entity which had intelligence. So man created this artificial intelligence and man had intelligence. And therefore, if you want to prove that God did not exist, you'll have to prove that man got its intelligence from something that did not have intelligence. While your AI itself is getting its intelligence from an entity that has intelligence. So it takes back into tasalsul, and then eventually we get to prove our point. But then we need to be well equipped to understand their shubhat and answer them precisely, right? Shall we move on? Any questions? Alright. So, what was their concern? The concern was, I have a machine, it can process information. If I give it a very complex number, which is, let's say, 9 to the power of 1 infinity or whatever, multiplied by another number, it can process that information. But the problem with this machine is that it cannot imagine, it cannot dream, and it cannot create out of the imagination, right? So this was their problem. More than that, they have another problem. And that problem was that, can this machine be made emotional? Can I make this machine feel the pain, the joy, the happiness, the sadness, the heartbreak? Can I get this machine to cry? Why? Because all these things exist in human beings. Human beings not only have intelligence, they also have emotions. They also have the ability to imagine, dream and create. So now the problem is that I have a machine which is super fast, supercomputers. They can process data and tell me precisely when is it going to rain and where is the lightning going to strike. When is it going to be solar eclipse or lunar eclipse, and when is let's say asteroid going to pass next to a planet, or when is X star going to explode. I know all that information because my computer can process that information. That's okay. But it is still not intelligent. Why? Because it cannot imagine, it cannot dream, it cannot create, and it cannot feel any of the emotions. And therefore, it is far, far away from being human, being realistic, right? And this is what their concern was, that where are we stuck? We are stuck here where that I have a machine, but it lacks something that human beings have. So it is still a machine. So what do we do? What do I have to do to get this moving and solve this problem? They thought that, how did we get this far? What did we do? We wrote code. We wrote millions and millions of lines of code to get a computer to take all that information, process, and give us the precise data that on what date, at what time, and what location there's going to be earthquake. Or when is it going to be tsunami, or high tide, or low tide, or full moon, or no moon. So, I have a computer that is fast, really fast. And how? By giving it millions of lines of code. How about me writing more code, trying to tell it how to be emotional? Meaning that if someone comes to the computer and talks to this computer and says, I lost my dog, this computer should be able to react to this person and console this person, show some empathy, show some sympathy. So they felt that, okay, you know what? The best thing is write more code. Let's write more code. We wrote 1 million lines, 10 million lines, 100 million lines of code. Let's make that 1 billion lines of code, keeping in mind all the if and then. Right? Those who are not into coding, there's a concept called if-then loop. Right? So what happens? You say, if this, then you do this. So if a person comes to you, we will place a camera here. The camera will capture the person and see if it's smiling. If it is smiling, then you to smile back. If the person is not smiling, then you show your concern. If the person is crying, then you console him by saying this statement. Let's say, it's going to be all right. Don't worry. Right? So they felt that, let's write an extensive if-then loop. If this, then this, and this, and this, and this. So they wrote millions of lines of code to make computers more intelligent. However, they still lagged at many places. Like, I'll just mention the thing here, later on we are going to discuss, that the computer can still only take the information on its face value. It will not understand the joke or sarcasm. Right? So, what happens? How many of you have studied Usul? Usul? Alright, some people haven't. In Usul, we have a concept called Tasdeeq-e-Ula wa Tasdeeq-e-Sani. In that, we say that when a statement is being said, either you look at the usage of the word, that what is the meaning of the word, and then is the word being used in the same sense, and is the person truly mean this word? Right? For example, if the father tells the son, I'm watching you, huh? What does this mean? Be careful. So it's actually saying that be careful. It's not saying I'm watching you. The computer only understands I'm watching you. If the father says, oh, so you're smart. What does the computer understand? That the father is complimenting the son while the father is being sarcastic and warning the son. So the problem here again is that the computer can only take the value on its face value. Take the information on its face value. So even after writing millions and millions of lines of code, they still got stuck at this element that the computer does not understand jokes, it does not understand emotions, it does not understand sarcasm. So they thought, we will fix this. It's so easy. We'll just write tons and tons of code. But when they got stuck with this problem, that is when they realized that we need to think out of the box. We need to change the way we think. And that is when we go back to the second phase. I'm going to quickly take you to that slide. Where we talk about machine learning. Ability to learn without being explicitly programmed. Meaning that the machine will learn by itself without me having to program it and tell it how you should act. Right. Now, from here on, things are going to get really complex. Right? For us, the Hausa, we've still not realized the threat this possesses for us. Right? But by the time I come and talk to you about deep learning, you will realize the huge threat this whole AI system has for the Hausa system. So what's happening? The machine is going to use the existing data and the other data that it will capture from the live moments and train itself. That means it is going to look at what's happening around, take that information, add that information to the existing information, and make itself better. How? Let me take an example of a parent trying to teach a child how to write. So the father says, son, can you write A? Son says, yes, Baba. Great. Write an A for me. A capital A. So the son writes. What do you think the father would do? Sorry? You will say it's wrong, right? So this is wrong. How do you think the son would react? The father says, this is wrong. How do you think the son reacts? Will it be motivated to continue?
Yes.
Yes? What if he says, no, beta, this is wrong. This is not how it's written. Look at it, pay attention, write again. He says, okay, fine, Baba. Is it better than earlier version? It is. Is it right? No. Then father says, no, let me help you. He takes the hand of the son and he makes it write A. This is write like this. So now the son goes, okay, I'm going to try, Baba. What do you think the father is going to do? Appreciate. Appreciate. Say, Ahsantum, excellent, offering. He's going to say 10 good things. Why? Why? So that the son continues writing like this. And they did the same thing with the computers. They gave computer the information and they said, you are supposed to give me an X output. So, now here's a person, a child, acting like this. Take that information and tell me what are you going to do. Said, I'm going to laugh at the child. Let's say the child is playing, it fell down. So, the robot, what are you going to do? I'm going to laugh. Wrong. I'm going to stand there. Wrong. I'm going to do this. Wrong. I'm going to do this. Good. You're getting closer. So I have to do better than this. So this is again, you know, if you go to psychology, it's called conditioning and anchoring. How many of you studied psychology? Anyone here who studied psychology? Psychology. Excellent. There's something called conditioning and anchoring, or conditioning of the subconscious mind and anchoring. So whenever you get the positive output from someone, you send back a signal and say, this is good. And when the person realizes this is good, and they get a reward for it, they would want to repeat that action. And this is what they did with the computers. They said, okay, here, I'm going to create a dog which is going to be an interactive dog. So Sony came up with the dog which is Aibo. Heard of it? Not heard of it. Aibo was created as a dog which is interactive and can play with your child. So the child throws the ball, and this Aibo runs after the ball and gets the ball. If the ball is delivered to the boy claps and appreciates. Aibo learns from it and makes sure that next time again the ball is handed over to the child. But if it drops the ball far away, the child says, no Aibo. And Aibo learns from it that what it has done is not enough to please the child. Right? So then they started developing interactive toys and interactive machines that are going to take input from the people directly, and then they will learn from that input and improve. So the first experiment was Aibo the dog. What do you think they came up with next?
How can a machine learn?
That is what the whole AI concept is. When it talks about learning, then this is how it learns. How many of you are into coding? How many of you would like me to explain how it works? All right, some of them here. All right. See, again, it's pretty simple. You either provide a value of 1 or you provide a value of 0. So when you're working with electricity, you have value of 1 and 0. When you turn on the switch, it is 1, and when you turn off the switch, it is 0, right? If you go back and look into computers, right at the base of it, you hear something called assembly language. Assembly language was nothing but zeros and ones. So when you press the letter A, what goes to the computer is an 8-digit number which consists of 01000011, 8 digits of zeros and ones, right? So when you press A, the computer hears 01111001. This is what is given to the computer, right? Now, when computer is told this, that when you bring back the ball and you drop here, the person says no, then you get a 0 and not a 1. Every time you get 0, you did not perform the task successfully. Therefore, repeat the task, right? For example, you code the computer and say, 2 plus 2 equals 2, you leave it as a question mark, it gives you an answer 5. Then you get an option, Y or N. Is the answer correct or no? You press Y, computer gets a positive response, it says my answer was correct. Next time again, you enter 2 plus 2, it's going to give you the answer 5. But if you press N, then the computer gets a 0, says this is a negative response. Therefore, computer knows that it gave a wrong answer. Then it will try and give you another answer. It will say 6. Then again you say no. It says 3. You say no. Then it says 4. You say yes. It takes the four, it takes yes, associates it together, stores it in its memory, saying that four is yes. Everything else is no. And in this whole set of numbers starting from 0 to 1 trillion, whatever numbers, there's only one correct answer and everything else is wrong. So the moment I get four, a yes, that means all other numbers are wrong. There's only one right answer. So I got my answer. Right. So that's how computing and programming and algorithm works. Quite simple at this level, but extremely complex when you're dealing with human beings. Yes? We are going to tell it. We're going to tell it that if you get a zero, you're supposed to repeat the program. The loops that I spoke about, the code that we write, we say if, then, so and so. And we have multiple kind of loops. So you have these loops where you say, if you get this response, then end the code or end the program. If you don't get this response, then repeat the program. So you go back and write the program again. It rolls the whole sequence of programs again till you get the right answer. Goes back into algorithm and coding.
I understand that it learns, but at the end of the day, it still depends on those codes that you've
Now, this again depends on the code, but now you've made the code in a way that you told the computer that when you get a certain response, register this response. Earlier, there was no registration happening. It was only me who was telling the computer that when you do this, and I should get this. So when I enter 2 plus 2, you should calculate it like this and give me 4. But now I'm telling the computer, look, when you get a certain response, register this response. And if the response is negative, don't repeat. If the response is positive, repeat. So there's some amount of registration happening and learning happening by the computer itself. So there's machine learning happening. So for example, look at Asimo. They created Asimo. And Asimo is a Japanese creation. One of the challenges for the whole robotic industry was to get a robot to walk on 2 feet like a normal human being. Took more than 50 years to get them to get a robot to walk on 2 feet. Then they developed Asimo, who could play football and run around with kids. Learning and understanding that if I play like this, kids are enjoying, therefore I should play like this. Even to the extent of Asimo acting as a waiter in a restaurant and taking coffee to the customers. A lot of restaurants had hired Asimo as their waiter, that it would take the coffee and hand over the customers, and customers in turn would appreciate and say, good job, Asimo. And like, yes, registered. Right? Then it'll go back and it'll continue doing that good job. But if it spills the coffee, which is pretty rare because it's well programmed, then the owner would say, no, Asimo. Then it'll learn that what I've done is not the matlub. It's not expected, not the desired result, right? So there's some interaction happening between humans and computers, and now the computers are learning from the humans. Are you getting the point? Computer, code provided, processing information, done deal. But if I want the computer to behave from humans, what better to learn from than the humans themselves? So now the computer is learning from the human behavior what is right and what is wrong, and slowly adapting that very behavior of the human beings. So, does it solve the problem of the fundamental problem that we had? Imagination, dreaming, and creation, does it solve the problem? It doesn't. It is learning the human behavior. It is mimicking the human behavior. The humans are all participating and contributing in that particular behavior, in his learning, but it has still not taught the computer how to imagine, dream, create, or be emotional. Right? So we're still quite far away from that state. At this moment, we're only talking about machines. All right. So what happened next? They started allowing the computers to learn from different behaviors and started providing inputs to the computers and allowing them to plan. For example, they had a system, a software system called Dart. And they used it in Gulf War. What did they use it for? During the Gulf War, it was required that a platoon would go fight in Gulf region and come back after a certain period of time. And certain material like tanks and weapons were required to be sent there, right? Manually, to keep track of who is traveling, for how long have they been there, and whose turn is it next time, is an extremely challenging job. And what is it required to be sent there is, again, a Herculean task. So what did they do? They developed a program which is going to plan based on the inputs. So first 6 months they provided the inputs, and then it knew that every week these are the stuff that are required there. These are the people who've already served in Gulf region, and now it's that team's turn, so on and so forth. So DART was literally planning all the logistics for America during the Gulf War. DART was planning. There was no one there sitting and, you know, using the whiteboard, drawing the plan that who went, who did not go, how long did they serve and all that. Certain inputs were provided, and based on that, DART was planning for America. That means now, is it imagining? No. Is it dreaming? No. But is it creating? Yes. Now it is creating information. It is creating, it is planning, it is strategizing. So one step closer. And all this happened because we were able to provide the right set of information. Right? Then they implemented AI in games. So you had these games from Warcraft to, I don't know, all these games that are there. Battlefield, I don't know, there's so many games, I don't even know. FIFA and everything, these games that are there for Xboxes and PS5 and all the internet games that are networking games, there's AI involved in that. The most challenging game, which requires a lot of intelligence and planning, is chess. Right? So then they started using AI in chess. So how does it work? Great, we don't have a tahte paako. Alright, we're going to use here, that's okay. We're going to use here and have a look at how the AI uses the strategy in chess. Let's say there are all these pawns here. And this guy has his pawns here too, right? Now this guy makes the first move. Let me put it as red. Let's say he makes the first move. He moves one of his pawns. The moment the guy moves the pawn, AI starts calculating that if he moved this, and then I move this, what is going to be the next move from this person who has got the red pawns and the king and all that? So then it's going to draw a chart. This guy is either going to move this, or move this, or move this, or move this, or move this, and calculate up to 70 to 200 next moves, possible moves. So it's going to say, he moved this, and I moved this. When I move this, here are the possible next 200 moves that this guy can make. Or possible 70 moves that this guy is going to make. When he make any of these 70 moves, what are my options? I can make the following 30 moves after his 70 moves. When I make these 30 moves, what are his options? He can make the following 110 moves. Then, so on and so forth, up to 20 to 50 moves. So it's going to calculate the sequence of 20 to 50 moves, that these are the possible moves, one. Two, after the 50th move, what is the probability of me winning against this person? If the probability is less than 70%, then I should not make this move. This is a wrong move. If the probability is 95% and above, then this is a good move, I should make this move. Now, how does the computer know which move to make? Based on the data provided from across the world. They captured the moves and the gains of the champions across the world and fed more than 2,000 gains to the computer to tell it that when someone makes this move, here are the possible moves. And if they make that move, here are the possible moves. And that's how they trained the computer to learn chess. So now AI is working in chess. Earlier for software programs like Dart, now in chess. Then they started implementing advanced AI, which is also related to deep learning, into Mars rovers. Do you know that we've sent rovers to Mars so that they can explore the Mars and give us information? Do you also know that the latest rover that we sent it with a helicopter, a drone that can actually leave the rover, travel around, capture pictures, even collect the samples, process it in this little lab that is connected there, and send back the data to us, right? So now they're implementing it in the rovers. Into deep sea rovers. Do you know that when you go below a certain sea level, the pressure of water is so intense that, giving example of a man, if a man goes beyond that level, his lungs become smaller than an orange because of the air pressure. So you can't go beyond that level. If you go beyond that level, you will explode and die, right? So what did they do? They made machines and gave them information and said, this is how you look for life. This is how you know this thing is living and moving. And this is rock. And this is a plant. This is this little creature. This is a fish. And with that information, they went around looking for animals and found amazing variety of fish living in the deep dark sea. Right. Let me try and bring it closer and wrap it up. We are going to cover this slide again, keeping in mind we've got just about 6 minutes in our hand. Let me take this closer to you. Then they started using the machine learning in platforms, social platforms like Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Siri, Alexa, and all that. Now, what does all this do? What does AI do when it is used on Facebook, YouTube, and other places? It tracks all the websites you use. If you have Google on your system, you have Firefox on your system, you have Opera on your system, whatever, it tracks all your activities, what websites you visit, what news you read, what shopping you do, what products you buy, the videos you watch, and all the messages you type and send, even the choice of words you have. And that's why you will see that the moment you type AS, it automatically tells you Assalamu Alaikum. Why? Because it has learned from your typing that Assalamu Alaikum is what you use regularly, and if you notice, it will give you the exact spelling that you type and not somebody else. Go to someone else's mobile and type AS, it will give the spelling of that person and not your person. So someone writes Assalamu Alaikum with an apostrophe after A, they will get that spelling, but you will get your Assalamu Alaikum with the hyphen. Right? Why? Because your mobile phone is learning from your behavior. So the AI is there in your Snapdragon processor. AI is there sitting in the Google server, and it is learning from everything you do, and eventually what they have from you is your profile. That you are this person, you like this color. If you look at Google now, it also gives you the option of selecting a particular background or a particular color for your web browser. So these are the colors you like, these are the products you like, these are the brands you like, these are the kind of words you use in your vocabulary, these are the language and material that you read. So eventually they know you in and out. So there's this artificial intelligence, the huge computer servers. Do you know, have anyone looked at how many servers does Google have? Does anyone know how many servers does Google have? Right. Server is more or less half the size of a table, that kind of a huge computer with huge storage capacity. Imagine these lined up one after the other in a stack of up to two floors, covering a whole football field, two floors, at least 180 locations across the world. That many servers Google has just to keep track of everybody in the world, to know what they are, how they think, how they plan, when do they wake up. Even your alarm clock, that you mark your alarm, I want to wake up at 7 a.m. and you're using Android phone, that goes into Google servers. So everything is being tracked and everything is being profiled. So now they know who you are, how you think, what you like, what you don't like. Question: why do they need to know all that? So that
they can better design
the AI. One option is, the more they know, the better the AI gets. That is point number one. Point number two. Sorry, a little louder because of the
advertising.
They can push advertisements and tell you that, okay, you like this stuff, so here are new products. You can buy these products. Have you heard of the statement called knowledge is power? Knowledge is power. So the one who has all the knowledge is all powerful. And when someone becomes all powerful, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْعَلَىٰ, so that they will tell you tomorrow that I know everything about you more than yourself. Why? Because my profiling tells your psychological behavior, and therefore I can manipulate you psychologically. I can send some messages, some advertisements, some push notifications to make you happy or make you upset. I decide how your day is going to be. So essentially, AI is being used to learn about human beings and give that AI that power and knowledge to be able to tell us, manage us, control us, even though a lot of people say that, oh, this is theory. That's okay. We are developing all the technology. But essentially, where is AI heading to? Right? In the next session, inshallah, let's end this here. In the next session, we're going to deal about some advanced AI programs, and we're going to talk about how far they've managed to take, and has AI managed to get that capacity of imagining, dreaming, creating, and being emotional. If it did, then it is pretty close to human beings, and it can understand human beings. If it can, then it can also manipulate human behavior. Thank you all so much for coming, sparing an hour and listening to me. Inshallah, I hope to see you all in the next program, which is same time next Monday. Iltamas the dua, please recite the salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.